Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Ford of Corinth has trucks built Ford Tough with powerful engines and rugged exteriors. Whether you're hauling cargo, towing a trailer, or just need a reliable daily driver, Ford of Corinth has the truck for you, which includes a lifetime powertrain warranty. FordofCorinth.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. My name is Michael Morton. Appreciate you guys being here. It is truly the dog days of summer, but next time you hear from me, I will be Atlanta. It will be SEC Media Days time, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am an absolute sucker for it, and to be honest with you, I have been a sucker for it the whole time. It's not just because, you know, I work in sports media technically, although I don't know what... I don't know if you call what I do working or media or whatever. But no, I actually really enjoy this. I am one of those people that I love football. I love college football. I love the NFL. I love talking about it. I love listening to people talk about it. I love being around people talking about it. I'm 33 years old. I still get excited sitting down next to a player. That kind of stuff really excites me. I enjoy talking to them. I even enjoy... like when a coach walks by, like, oh, hey, you know, there's Nick Saban right there. That's pretty cool. Stuff like that. It is, I'm a sucker for it. And I'm really excited for this week and every week at SEC Media Days. And I hope you guys are too, because we're going to have fun out there. We're going to bring you lots of great content. And tonight, we're talking about what you want to hear from Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, the players that he's bringing, Greg Sankey, whoever. What do you guys want to hear from them at SEC Media Days? Again, I'm Michael Borky. Thank you for tuning in, as always, in the dead middle of the summer, but getting closer. We're going to be in the 40s on our countdown of 100 teams in 100 days. And oh, by the way, we are inside of 48 hours. Inside of 48 hours from NFL players reporting to training camp. So football is getting closer. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. And also right here on YouTube, leave a comment, like, hit the notification bell so you know when I post, because this coming week, there's going to be a lot of it, as you can imagine. And so you guys don't want to miss anything, and hit that notification bell. Before we get into anything else, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Exit 40 in Brookhaven is where they're located. Also, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's their website. They also have a service department that is one of the highest rated in the state. 7 to 7 is when they're open, and they'll take care of you any make or model. But the people at Toyota Brookhaven will take care of you. And I don't mean they'll sell you a car. They'll do that. But they'll actually take care of you, the person. That's what they do there. They'll also give you $1,000 off on me if you just tell them that I sent you. Seriously, just tell them that I sent you. Great in-house financing, a great used selection, and of course, new Toyota, specifically the Tundra there. Outstanding looking truck. So check them out. Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver. So that's the question. What do you guys want to hear from Lane Kiffin? What do you want to hear from Ole Miss tonight? I've got a few thoughts, and then we'll get to your comments, and we will just kind of chat for the next 20 minutes or so. But the first thing, and this is going to be kind of like, you know, typical sports radio guy take, whatever, but that's what this is. I don't want to hear any complaining from the coaches, and you're going to get a lot of it. And to be honest with you guys, I'm so sick of it. I know that the system, which isn't even really a system, is a mess. I know that it's hard figuring out who is on your roster and money and stuff. And I know that the House settlement hasn't really cleared anything up. And I know that the Deloitte situation is an absolute, forgive my language, earmuffs everybody, but it's a total shit show. Like, I know that everybody knows that, but since this is an Ole Miss focused podcast, I know Lane Kiffin's good at talking big picture stuff, but we know he thinks that it's a mess because it is. We know he doesn't like the system because none of the coaches do. We know all that. You make $10 million a year to coach a football program. I don't care if it's hard for you. You know what I mean? That's a very cynical sports radio guy take. I know. I really know. But that is just not something that I care to talk about next week that much. I know Greg Sankey's going to do it, but I don't want to. I don't care. Yes, it's hard. I know it's hard. Boo-hoo. You make $10 million a year. You're coaching football. I don't want to hear complaining. I'm over it. Unless you're offering solutions, then I don't want to hear it. Like Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, says at Big 12 Media Days, they need a salary cap. It's like, oh, wow, what a great groundbreaking idea. Thank you, Coach. What a great advancement of the conversation. And then the ESPN College Football Podcast talks about, oh, do we need a salary cap? Well, no crap. Of course we do. But we've needed one. That conversation is a decade too late now. Of course we need a salary cap in college football. That's not the conversation that anybody needs to be having. That answer is exclusively yes. Because it works in the NFL, it works in the NBA, although they have the aprons and all that crap. Salary caps are good. We know that college football needs one. It would be great, because then instead of it being about your resources, it would be about your efficiency, and that's way more enjoyable as a fan, right? Because how do you expect Mississippi State to compete with Texas? How? Different stratospheres of financial resources. So, yes, it would be great, but is anybody going to talk about how to actually get there, or are we just going to whine and complain from behind a podium about how hard this is? I don't care. You're multimillionaires. I don't want to hear it. Talk about your football team. That's what 99% of people want to hear about, is just your football team and how good, like, what this player is going to do and what this player is going to do, and if you struggled last season, how you're going to change. If you were good last season, how you're going to maintain. Tell me about your quarterback. Tell me about your new defensive coordinator, whatever. Like, that's what the people want to hear this week. So just spare me the, oh, it's so hard. We don't know the rules. You get paid too much money, okay? Offer up a solution or shut up. I know that's like a New York sports radio guy thing to say, but offer up a solution or shut up. We've heard you complain enough. And that's not exclusively in Kevin, that's everybody. Heard you complain enough. But from an actual football team perspective for Ole Miss and Kiffin, I am expecting to be able to visit with him one-on-one. That is the expectation. We hope that it happens, of course. If it does, I'm going to ask him about, you know, you didn't make any staff changes. There's a lot of continuity there, but how much self-scouting have you done this offseason? And what does that look like? How do you do that? What kind of leadership void does Jackson Dart leave behind? And has Austin Simmons filled that void? And, you know, what are the differences between the two of them from a personality perspective? Does changing quarterbacks force you to change your offense? Those kind of things. And yeah, he won't go into great detail. He does not like to reveal anything like that. But hearing his answers on some of that's going to be at least fascinating, I think. And Caden Lee, I'm very excited to hear from. I think he'll be a fun interview. I want to ask him about the other wide receivers as well as himself, though. Is DeJean Stribling, for example, I keep bringing him up to you guys because I've only heard exclusively great things about him in particular. You know, what's that like? How have you, the veteran in the room now, at least from being at Ole Miss in that perspective, how have you taken on the role of helping these guys get acclimated to, you know, what you guys do? And that'll be exciting. TJ Dottery is going to be interesting. They're all interesting, but Dottery's going to be interesting. I want to know what it's like playing for Pete Golding in particular, and what that dynamic is like between the two of them and what their relationship is, because we don't get to hear from Pete Golding but once a year. That's it. One time a year is the only time we ever get to hear from Pete Golding. And so I want to talk to somebody that plays under him and find out what that's like and what their dynamic is and what their relationship is. And then, of course, Austin Simmons, all the things with him. What's the offseason been like for you? One of my favorite questions is, you know, everybody talks about the good things. Well, what is the thing that you have worked on the most? What area of your game do you think that you needed the most improvement from last season to this season? Things like that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited to hear from these guys. I know I've not heard from TJ Daugherty before, so I'm going into it kind of blind. But I know that the other two will be really good and really fun to talk to. And I would expect that they brought a third one. Ole Miss has done a very good job of selecting players that, you know how to do this and do this well. Not only was Jared Ivey a good player, but he was a hell of an interview. And so, like, he was not a star necessarily at Media Days last year, but people really enjoyed talking to him because of how engaging he was. So hopefully it's more of the same this year. From Greg Sankey, that's another one that we usually do it. We get it every year, so hopefully this year is not different. A one-on-one with him. Hey Dad has already told me he doesn't care to be a part of it because he doesn't like talking about any of the big picture stuff or the money or anything like that. But I think I've told you guys before, but if I'm afforded the opportunity, like I expect to be afforded the opportunity of a one-on-one with the commissioner, it would be focused on you guys. Maybe if there's time, I'll get to the why don't you collectively bargain? This Deloitte thing's seemingly not working. Are you concerned about litigation? Those kind of questions. But I want to start with talking about you guys, because we talked to tens and tens of thousands of Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans primarily on the radio show every day. And the feedback that we get from them, that's why I love using a text line, by the way, and also why I like using a chat here on these much smaller reach live streams compared to the radio show. But because we get instant feedback and we hear from you guys. And honestly, the overwhelming majority of our radio audience and you guys are not concerned about the portal or money or whatever in the same way you're concerned about getting priced out, about cost, about access, about not necessarily media access, but you guys don't know anything about your players anymore. And it's not just because of the transfer portal. It's you're not given the opportunity to get to know who they are once they're there. Even the 1 year guys, it's you're getting priced out. And even though the schools are now paying the players directly, guess who's, you know, paying for that indirectly? It's still you guys. They didn't make $20 million worth of cuts. They made some, of course, but you guys are having to pay more for Grove Tent setup. That's how they're covering the cost there. Parking went up. At Mississippi State, they went 2-10, and they raised season ticket prices after going 2-10. And now they're asking fans, they're soliciting donations directly to their revenue sharing fund. I mean, and that's everyone. Fans are still covering the cost for players, even though schools are supposed to be paying them directly. Merchandise is getting more expensive and worse. The access that I mentioned, again, I'm not talking about media access. Spring games are going away completely. Open practices are a thing of the past. You guys don't get to see or engage with your team anymore. Other than the 12 Saturdays where they're on the field, but they keep taking from you guys and taking from you guys. And do they feel that at the league office? Is the SEC aware of how frustrated fans are, where they feel like they're getting left behind? He's a well-traveled commissioner. He goes to, he doubles up a lot of weekends where he'll go to an 11 a.m. kickoff and he'll go to a night game in the same weekend. I mean, he's well-traveled. He visits stadiums every weekend. Do you realize how bad the in-game experience has gotten with the sheer volume of downtime in these games? Are you talking to your TV partners about ways that you can keep the advertising dollars but get more creative with it? Soccer has one commercial break in an entire game. They have one, and they make billions of dollars. They figure it out. I was watching the Gold Cup. The United States has run through the Gold Cup, and they had – like a substitution sponsor. Hey, this substitution is brought to you by whoever. Hey, this part of the game is brought to you by whoever. And they would have a banner underneath the score bug. They make money that way. Or are you guys talking about that? Because the fans are miserable. Even at the big games, they're still miserable. That's what I want to focus on with the commissioner more so than collective bargaining, because I think as I say to you guys often, and I say on the radio show often, you guys are an afterthought. You guys are forgotten. They don't care about you because they just assume you're going to be there always. And maybe you are. I'm going to be forever. I am imprinted on football, and nothing that they will do will ever take me away from it. So maybe we're the suckers, but it is a huge problem. And last year, nobody at the league level in interviews or on the podium talked about you guys. And I'm going to make sure that we get to this time. So anyway, we'll get to your comments here for just a few minutes anyway, and then we'll get you out of here on this Thursday night. But first, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. If you're a Mississippi company and you need technology in the office anywhere in Mississippi, absms.com. That's the website, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security, IT projects, phone systems. If it's tech, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out at absms.com and tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It is a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Again, 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's definitely one near you. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Want to hear why Perkins isn't going? Nothing against TJ. He's amazing, but that had to have been a tough decision. I just wouldn't be surprised if, frankly, Pat, it's just because they expect TJ to do well. And also, Pete Golding loves him. That's one part of it. Pete Golding loves him. If you watch that fireside chat, he's very complimentary of him. I mean, he was the green dot guy last year. He was the call guy on the field. But sometimes they make these decisions based on what kind of interview a player is going to be. Now, I don't think it's, I mean, I could be wrong. I haven't heard if it's like punishment related. Maybe it's as simple as they think TJ one is a good player and clearly a leader on that defense if you listen, if you take the coordinator at his word. But that will be, I mean, maybe it's as simple as just he'll be a really good interview and they trust him to handle media better. Some guys, and there's nothing wrong with it, it doesn't mean anything. Some guys are just better in front of a camera than others. And so maybe it's they know TJ is really going to do well. And so good player, leader, and will handle this well. I mean, who knows? Maybe Centurion was like, nah, I don't want to go. You know, I would have brought him because of the star power, but we certainly will find out on Monday. Don't want to beat a dead horse, but I want an explanation for the offense last year and reasons to be optimistic that things will be different this go around. Fair enough. Only want to know a real answer to the Bentley situation. Frankly, I don't think you're going to get many questions about that because they for whatever reason, are going with the he wasn't good enough to play line. Called one of the beat writers to the principal's office to tell him that that's what it was, and that's that's the line they're going with. He's said it many times. I don't believe it, but it doesn't matter because they're going with the line that a fifth string undersized wide receiver who does not play running back is a better option at running back than Ulysses Bentley in a must win game in Gainesville. That's what they decided. They publicly say it's because he wasn't good enough to get snaps. You shouldn't buy it, but that's what they're going with. And that's what they've always gone with. And you're not going to get anything other than that. Yeah, I agree. We won't get a real answer on that unless Bentley himself wants to talk about it. If we get a salary cap for college football, does Dion agree to visit recruits or is he too famous? No kidding. Ask Austin Simmons what DBs give him the most trouble in practice. That's a good question. That's a good question, actually. I might write that down, Zach, because his answer when I did the interview with him on here not too terribly long ago was in the spring they were limited at defensive back, clearly. That's why they were so portal heavy in that room, especially in the second window. Pete Golding himself said in that fireside chat that what, 9 new secondary players that weren't there or didn't practice in the spring anyway, because there were some injury issues as well. It's all grapevine stuff, of course, because that program's not particularly leaky, but it certainly sounds like they were not inspired by what they had at defensive back available, like practicing, not defensive back, in the secondary as a whole in the spring. So, questionable play calling and roster management cost a shot at the playoff. Kiffin is absolutely capable of correcting them, and I believe he will, but there are still questions from last year. No doubt. No doubt about it. Random question, but since it's media day soon, got me thinking about conference realignment again. If I told you the SEC welcomed North Carolina and Virginia in the next few seasons, would you buy it? I would. I would buy it. The ACC is going to blow up soon. I don't know if you guys saw the story. You may not have looked at it, but they have essentially a new agreement that allows them to get out for only $75 million in 2030. And there is a Super League clause that if 6 or more want to leave in football only, the buyout of the conference is also dramatically reduced. I still maintain that's where it's headed. I don't think 5 years from now you've got the same structure with conferences and things like that. I still anticipate some kind of a breakaway, possibly in football only, unless they can get this bill pushed through Congress. But even that is going to get – there's going to be legal challenges even with that if it passes, which it may not. And, I mean, it's just a mess. But that wouldn't surprise me. I do think, though, that adding new states is not as important as it used to be, because remember back in the early days of the SEC network when they added A&M and Missouri, it was about, well, your network needs to be able to reach this many homes, right? It was look, the millions of people in Texas. You need these big cities, these big markets in Missouri for your television partners. It's different now. Everybody gets the SEC network. It's so mass distributed that you don't need to worry about, well, got to get another state. It's you got to get another team that people are going to watch. Like Clemson. Clemson would fit in the SEC great, I think. I know I'm from South Carolina. I didn't go there for a reason, though. But really care about football. They care about all three, right? It's a baseball fan base that is not as rabid as the ones here, of course, but they care. Like, they will effort baseball. They obviously effort basketball as well. Facilities are nice. Campus is cool. Tailgating's fun. I mean, it's not going to, you know, knock your socks off or anything like that, but it feels SEC, especially inside of the stadium. It feels SEC. They would fit very well in this league, a hell of a lot better than Missouri does. So, kind of crazy, but I honestly hope Clemson and Dabo succeed this year. Really like Dabo as a person. I've come around on Dabo a lot. I do think they're going to be good this year. I think they're going to be a playoff team. Cade Klubnik is going to be my pick to win the Heisman. Little spoiler there. Well, we'll do those later in the year, but I'm picking Cade Klubnik to win the Heisman. So, with Lane's family moving here, what will it take for him to leave Oxford? It's a good question. An NFL job. I think that's an NFL job is an easy one, because everybody with a functioning brain will not only understand why he would take an NFL job, but it, like, the mood would be, you know, tip your hat, thanks, coach, heck of a run, good luck with the Vikings or whatever, right? So that wouldn't, like, it would be easy for his kids to continue to live and go to school and stuff in Oxford. There wouldn't be, like, any awkwardness or anything like that, even though it's unfortunate to admit it's like this literally everywhere. If Hugh Freeze gets fired and he were to go to Auburn, it would be toxic. And it would be like that everywhere, literally everywhere. And not saying that, like, his kids would get treated poorly, but, you know, especially the college student, some drunk bro, you know what I mean? It's just, you open yourself up to make that weird. So an NFL job would be an easy transition for family purposes, for them to continue doing what they're doing. And it may, like, the feeling would still be really good, right? At least I think it would be. Everybody would understand a coach taking an NFL job over a college job. Everybody would. In terms of college jobs, that list has continued to shrink. And that's in part credit to the family thing that Kiffin has talked about publicly. I don't want to talk about people's personal lives. I don't think it's anybody's business, but he talked about it publicly. And so because of that, I think it's okay. So as a result of that, that list is shrinking, but also because of what Ole Miss has done. I mean, he doesn't really want for much. Salaries is there, support staff, all that's there, facilities. They renovated the hell out of his practice facility. He kind of gets whatever he wants. And so the list of demonstratively better jobs than the one he's currently got is a much smaller list than it was 5 years ago. And that's a credit to Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce and everybody involved with elevating the floor of the program. Lane Kiffin has elevated the floor of Ole Miss football, but Ole Miss football has also elevated its own floor by the way that they have responded to Lane's presence in Oxford. So, finally made it live. Good to see you, Jody. Good to see you. On why opponents out-adjusted them at halftime, offense was great in the first half, couldn't score in the second. That goes into the self-scouting thing I was talking about. If I'm given enough time, that will be a follow-up, especially in second halves. Is there something that you guys have found, or was there something that led to that, or was it, you know, what was that? Because, like, even the South Carolina game, you know, not good in the second half in that one either. So it wasn't just the losses. It was kind of what they were. Going to get to the point of pricing out fans coming to games sooner rather than later. I also saw this article that private equity is going to start buying into youth sports, mostly facilities and stuff like that. So even youth sports are pricing people out. It's sick what's happened. Would like to see the Walk of Champions be more engaging for the fans. Not sure if there's a way to do that, but the metal fences are another degree of separation from the fans to the team. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about right there. And that's a small thing, right, on its own. Oh, who cares? Some people would say, oh, you don't get to high-five the players anymore, boo-hoo. But, like, my son will be 6 this fall. I'm going to take him to a game. He had a blast last year. We went to the Georgia Southern game, sat in the stands like regular fans last year. Man, he had so much fun. And because of all the pomp and circumstance and all that centered around, like, the band, my gosh, we walked right up on the band when they were on university before they walk into the stadium. And the drums, man, he especially loved the drums. But, like, the power that comes with a marching band on game day, he loved all that. And this year, he's now a lot more aware of, like, oh, those players are special. Like when we went to the USA soccer game in Nashville, when we met John Tolkien, he didn't realize how special that was until after the fact. He was like, oh, wait, like it took him a little while for it to register that, wait a minute, I got to meet that guy. And that didn't register until we watched them play on TV. You see Maverick in the background there. He's not supposed to be up there, but he's getting old, so I let him sleep up there now. But he didn't realize it was special until he saw them on TV. You know what I mean? That's when it finally clicked in his head. So this year, he knows, like, oh, we get to go see the football team. I'm going to take him to the Walk of Champions and put him on my shoulders. And he's going to, instead of in years past when you would have been really been able to see them and like take a picture and give a high five and all that, he's going to be away from them. Is that a big deal? No, but that's just one less thing that a young person will get to connect with in the same way that a lot of you guys grew up doing, you know? Austin, appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you. Really, really, really appreciate you. You mentioned TV ruining the games. ESPN gets all of its TV views in a year, mainly from college football, not the NBA. True. Why do they talk so little about college football and insist on cramming NBA down our throat? I have two theories on why they do that, because you're exactly right. Regardless of what people that cover the NBA say, objectively, by the numbers available, because ratings numbers get posted. You can find the TV ratings for every college football weekend, and you can find them for every NBA game that gets broadcasted nationally. And the college football weekends are watched significantly, significantly more than the NBA. College football is significantly more popular nationwide than the NBA, significantly. Even the finals, the NBA finals are drawing numbers that Ole Miss Georgia did, regular season college football game with other college football games going on. So two theories, and I think they're both true, actually. One is ESPN is now, one, based in a place that does not support or recognize college football on their East Coast location. I mean, Bristol or New York, not college football. Los Angeles, not college football. So they've got all these people in these polar ends of the country that don't understand what's going on in between them. And they don't realize that, you know, the NBA being popular on Twitter doesn't translate to the NBA being popular in real life. And also, I think that they have overspent so much on their NBA contract that they have to try to justify that spending and use the other shows to talk about it, to try to get people to watch it, to justify the cost of their overinflated contract. And I say that as an NBA fan. I watch the Pelicans. I was locked into their summer league game during the radio show today. Because I'm a fan. So I say that as a fan. Both of those things are, I think, major contributors to that. They're in bubbles, and in their bubbles are NBA fans, and also they need to justify the expenses. So appreciate you, man. Really thank you. You ever been to an NFL game? Tickets, parking, college football is about a third of the price. Not anymore. Not anymore. If you want to go to of course it's dependent, right? If you want to go to a Saints game, it's cheaper than going to a conference game in Oxford. It's a hell of a lot cheaper, especially if you want to stay overnight. You can get a hotel in New Orleans on a game weekend for $200. You can, because it's a city built to house, and a lot of people that go to the games already live in the city, right? Oxford, if you want to stay overnight, you're screwed. You got a few thousand bucks on you, and because Ole Miss is good and because you guys sold out season tickets again, the tickets are going to be rather expensive. Whereas Saints tickets, man, I'm going to take my son to a Saints game this year. Here, let me tell you, this is deep in the off season, but a get in the door price, if they already have those available, let's see. New Orleans Saints. It's preseason. I can get in the door for the Saints season opener, right? For $49. I can get in the door for the season opener for $49. Let me see if Ole Miss has
Ole Miss football. No. Arkansas at Ole Miss football. So Ole Miss's first conference game. Get in the door price of $82. So almost double to go see Ole Miss play versus the Saints. The Saints suck, though. That's mostly why. The TV networks have ruined the product with the TV timeouts. The NFL runs the TV timeouts so much more efficiently. Why can't college football? Why are we subjected to the nonsense? That is something that I will ask Greg Sankey about. I promise you. Because it sucks. And the NFL does it better. Soccer, like I said, only has one commercial break. It's only college football where you're sitting on your hands for 4 minutes after 3 minutes of game action. It's only college football where that happens. That's unacceptable. Also, with Texas State leaving the Sun Belt, do you believe that they are realistically looking at Ohio University joining the Sun Belt and leaving the MAC? Why not Middle Tennessee, Liberty, Louisiana Tech, or West Virginia? I would assume you meant Western Kentucky with that one. So when something like that gets reported, just keep in mind, when it says Ohio University reached out to like and expressed interest in joining the Sun Belt, that does not mean the Sun Belt has interest in them. It's an interesting debate because the Sun Belt, if they add Louisiana Tech, that's their third Louisiana team. And is that what's best for a league that is quickly becoming the best G5 league? It's not there yet. I still think it's the AAC, but it's getting there quickly. I mean, why is Middle Tennessee more valuable than Ohio? Why is Western Kentucky more valuable than Ohio? I don't know the answer. Liberty's got a ton of money. So maybe that would make them attractive as that the resources that they would bring to the table. But I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of infighting in that league right now because some of them don't want to add a third Louisiana team. Wonder if any of the running backs are going to be a breakout and be number one back, or if Caleb Odom is starting at running back by week 9. It's hard to believe that Memphis is not in a bigger league in a few years, Tulane as well. Problem is, by then, would the league actually be any bigger? Because I don't believe Memphis and Tulane would get invited to my hypothetical breakaway league. So, I don't know. I still think that day's coming. ACC is on borrowed time. SEC and Big Ten are going to take over. Especially in 5 years when they can all leave. I'd like to hear Lane will show a little more restraint. Interesting. Bring my Tar Heels to Oxford. The Big Ten and the SEC will fight over North Carolina. No doubt. No doubt. Need to see Ole Miss North Carolina for the uniforms. Also, wouldn't mind hearing Lane talk about the Egg Bowl this year. It's a sneaky big game and a chance for a death blow. So if somebody asks him what's funny, though, I don't think he'd answer. Not really. He has never really, other than on game week when every coach hypes up their opponent, but outside of like literally, oh, it's the Egg Bowl, it's an important game, even then, he does not hype up that game. For better or for worse, he does not do it. Do not understand why those schools even sign those agreements. It limits you. But it also, the counterpoint would be it guarantees a certain amount of money. They can budget for the next decade. Want to play LSU last every year? They have no big rival at the end of the year. Why not us? Because the Egg Bowl. That's why. Ask Sankey if the conference title game is a chance to be rotated like Nashville when they finish their building. Interesting. Maybe AT&T. I've never thought of that. I don't hate that idea. I generally like that championship games rotate. Although I'm kind of hypocritical because I do think the Rose Bowl being the national championship venue for college football would be pretty cool. Just make the Rose Bowl the national championship game. Wouldn't hate that idea. I like that the Masters is at Augusta National every year. But the concept of like the Super Bowl rotating, I think, is good. That's it. That's interesting. If I've got time and I remember, I will ask him about that. Just, hey, have you guys considered? They're not moving the baseball tournament, but that's more of a convenience thing. But would you have the football game in Nashville in that brand new, beautiful stadium that's worth billions of dollars that they're building right off the interstate, right next to Nissan Stadium? Yes, SEC Media Day starts on Monday for sure. Do I think Stribling is going to have an Elijah Moore type breakout year? Different players, of course, and you know that. But yeah, I do think he's going to go from a guy that nobody is really talking about much to he's got how many yards? Yeah, I do think that. Texas State, a private school. They are not. They are not. Live in San Diego. Congratulations on that. I've heard great things. I know it's I'm sure the taxes aren't fun for you, but actually have heard great things about there. A lot of military there, which is, you know, probably helps avoid the decay in the same way you're getting elsewhere. But anyway, bowl game on Alcatraz. Did you? So they to promote the pro lacrosse league, they played a 3-on-3 game on top of a ferry boat in Chicago. I think it was Chicago today. Rotate it between Atlanta, Nashville, NOLA, Dallas, and Tampa. Problem is they want to keep it indoors, so Tampa would be out. But I don't hate that four location rotation at all. Would love that, actually. Would absolutely love that. All right, so here's the deal. I have no idea when I'm getting there on Sunday. If there is a video, just have the notification bell on. I cannot guarantee we'll be live because we've got to get there, of course, and then I don't know if I'll be able to get into the area to set up and actually do a podcast until the morning because I will be missing registration because that's from like 3 to 5, so I'll have to do it at 7 a.m. the next morning. And so I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to do one Sunday, but the plan is to get you. I mean, obviously we're doing the radio show and that's priority one, but my plan is to get you a new video with a new interview every single day for the next 2 weeks. That is my goal. I want 14 new videos. It may not happen, but that's what I am looking for. That's what I want to do is 14 consecutive new videos for you guys. We will absolutely be live on Monday. We'll go live maybe a little bit earlier than 9 o'clock because that'll be 10 Eastern. So just have that bell on and I'll tweet a link out as well. But we will absolutely, without a doubt, be live on Monday. And my goal is for a new video podcast uploaded for you every day for 2 consecutive weeks. I hope I can pull it off. That is my goal. And next time you guys see me, I will be in Atlanta for Media Days. Football, guys, is almost here. So I'll talk to you then. You guys have a great rest of your night and a great weekend, and I'll talk to you from Atlanta.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.